Living Fiction. Northwestern University, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company, brings you a radio dramatization of a colorful story of the early West, The Luck of Roaring Camp by Bret Harte, another in a series of Living Fiction.
No, go away. Can't you see we're playing?
You're always doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you'd like to raise a little objection to our using your dirty little back room.
Now, Kentuck, I didn't mean no harm. Forget I said anything.
How about it, Kentuck?
Hit me with two. Well, what are you trying to do? Give everybody else a look at them?
Sandy?
I'll stand pat.
Stumpy?
I'll keep these.
Boston?
Three.
Naked Joe just came in the bar room. French Pete's back there. They've been laying for each other. Looks like there might be a little trouble.
Yeah.
Deuces wild?
No, no yellow dogging.
20.
Joe and Pete eyeing each other. I'll raise you 20.
Yeah? I raise you 20.
I check.
Joe's getting plenty robbed.
I'll raise you 30.
I call you.
I've got a full house.
Straight.
Flush. Four of a kind.
Royal flush. Looks like I take the pile.
Why, you sandbagger. You check, huh? Pretending you didn't have nothing.
You mean you trusted me, Kentuck?
Come on, let's have another hand.
Joe and Pete's drawing their guns. Your deal, Boston. This place is getting noisier all the time.
Boys, French Pete and Kaneka Joe just shot each other to death over the bar.
Yeah? We've seen it. Come on, Oakhurst, get the deal started.
Yeah.
That was Rowan Camp up to 1850. The desperate, lawless band of some 100 men. I say it till 1850, because in that year, on a certain day, there was for once a situation novel enough to draw the whole camp together. Even the gamblers left the tables. The men were collected before a rude cabin on the outer edge of the clearing. Been there for some time. Conversation went something like, you know.
Well, Stumpy's been in there an awful long time.
Yeah, how much longer you reckon we gotta wait?
We ain't been sitting around here more than an hour. Sometimes takes days.
Days?
Well, like I ain't got that kind of time to waste.
Well, now I reckon you don't have much to say about how long it's gonna take, Sandy.
Maybe we shouldn't have sent Stumpy in there. Maybe he don't know as much about it as we thought he did.
He sure knows as much as the rest of us. Most likely more.
Yeah, well, that's so. It ain't exactly in our line.
Well, now, Stumpy didn't want to do it any more than we would have. I'm willing to say he took his election like a man.
Yeah, far be it from me to have a soft heart, boys. I am human, and I think it's kind of rough on Cherokee Sal.
Oh, Sal's a pretty tough customer.
Yeah, but all the same, being in her predicament and being the only woman in Roaring Camp, being how there ain't another woman within miles, well, I just think it's kind of rough on her.
I sure wish Stumpy'd at least stick his head out the door and tell us how things is going.
Yeah, maybe one of us ought to go in there and see how things is progressing.
Why, sure, Kentuck. Nobody's stopping you. Go right ahead.
Me?
It was your ID.
I meant somebody else.
I'm not going there. Nothing's matter.
I guess we'll just have to sit it out, Kentuck.
I, gentlemen, would not be averse to wagering 3-5 that Sal will come through it.
I wondered how long you'd hold out without making a bet, Oakhurst.
Gentlemen, I consider this a rare and golden opportunity for an honest game of chance.
Well, I'll take the bet, Oakhurst. I don't think Sal's got a chance.
Well, I'd say she has. $5 says so, too.
You're on.
Wonder if it'll happen before sundown.
$10 says it will.
I'll cover that. Not going to be till tomorrow.
20 says tonight.
You're on.
Right. You ever seen one?
Nah, I ain't got no time for them.
Well, who has?
You know, gentlemen, I would have said that nothing that happened in Roaring Camp would surprise me, but I didn't count on this.
Same here.
Well, come, gentlemen, let's get some more bets going. There are still a lot of angles we haven't taken sides on yet. I'll take five on the back. I'll cover that.
Did you hear what I did?
Yeah, I thought I did.
Well, I'll be a horn-toed fool. Stuffy?
It's a boy! Gentlemen, those of you would like to come in and see the baby, well, please pass in single file at the front door here, around the table on which is the baby lying inside that there candle box, and then pass on out the back door.
Yeah, let me in there. I want to see
it. Get over there, Ryder. What? I was ahead of you, Kentuck.
Well, I'm here now, ain't I?
You heard what Stubby said, Oakhurst. Single file.
Stop shoving, will you? I request
that you
finally shut up. Yeah, shut up! Seeing as how we don't want to disturb the baby. Them gentlemen as wishes to contribute anything toward the orphan will find a hat handy.
Orphan?
Yep.
You mean Sal,
Wasn't able to save
her. I said it'd go hard with Sal.
Yeah, well, let's have a peep at this kid.
Well, come on in, our fellas.
Is that him?
Couldn't be too that ugly.
Ain't more than got the color.
Mighty small specimen.
Ain't bigger than a derringer. Look at him, Kentuck.
Yeah, body's got to bend over close to even make him out. He ain't been living more than an hour, and he's as wrinkled as an old man. What? Well, he looked that darn little cuss. He's wrestling with my finger.
He is at that, Kentuck.
Wrestling with my finger.
Say, Stumpy.
Yep?
The Cherokee Sal's done passed out on us. What's the chances for the kid here living?
You know, I was wondering about that myself. A baby's got to have food, and not the kind of chow we eat.
There ain't no other woman with a new baby within 50 miles of here.
I done thought about that. It presents a problem, but I thought maybe Jenny could pinch it.
Jenny?
You mean that there donkey? She just gave birth the other day.
Mule milk.
I ain't never heard there was nothing wrong with it.
Ain't never heard nothing good about it, neither.
If you don't hanker after the idea, Boston, let's see you find some other solution.
Oh, I didn't mean no offense, Stumpy. Reckon there ain't any other solution but Jenny.
Well, I guess that settles it. You've been mighty quiet, Kentuck. What do you got to say about it?
Hey, wrestle with my finger, that darn little cut.
Sure is ugly critter, ain't he?
Well, he might grow to look better with time, Ryder. Well,
it seems to me you're getting kind of soft about that kid, Kentuck.
What?
Yeah, Kentuck. He took to you.
Oh, I ain't got no time for a baby. They're more trouble than they're worth.
Well, that's so.
Well, I've had enough for tonight. I think I'll turn in.
Yeah, same here.
It's 4 a.m. already. You sure wasted a heap of time, John, about that kid.
You coming, Kentuck?
No, not yet a while.
Suit yourself. I got a long day in the ditch tomorrow.
Have another, Kentuck?
Huh?
I said, do you want another drink?
Oh, no, Shorty. I'm leaving. All right. Here's a tip.
Well, thanks, Kentuck. Thanks.
Don't mention it, though. Kind of feel like it's a celebration.
Well, Kentuck.
Oakhurst.
How about one short game?
Nope, I'm turning in.
You're not heading toward your bunkhouse?
Well, I thought I'd stroll down by the river first.
Mm-hmm. Good night, Kentuck.
So long. Me, Stumpy. Kentuck.
What you doing here?
Oh, I just... Well, I figured I'd come on. How goes it with the kid?
He's fine, yeah.
Nothing up?
Nothing. Why are you losing good sleep to come and ask about him?
Well, I noticed you ain't abed.
I figured he might need something, and not being able to speak up and ask for it...
Sure. Well, you mind if I come in and have a look?
No, glad of the company. I've got some things to show you. Come on in.
You shouldn't have slammed that door.
Me? You done it?
I never did.
Well, no matter, the kid didn't bat an eye. Like I was fixing to say, been going over the contributions the fellers made this afternoon. Done pretty well by the kid.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Well, here's the pile. There's a silver tobacco box and a Navy revolver with a silver mount.
I reckon he ain't gonna have use for that for a while.
If he sticks around roaring long enough, he'll come in handy.
Yeah.
Look here, a fancy lady's handkerchief and a diamond breast pin. And
look at the jewels in it.
Here's a ring just as swell. Golden spurs and a silver teaspoon, some scissors, and lots of money.
It must be close to $200 there.
Reckon so. Well, look at this.
That can't be a...
It sure is. But how in tarnation did a Bible ever get into Roaring Camp?
If you fellas gonna keep on arguing amongst yourselves, we ain't never gonna reach no unanimous decision about the kid.
Well, we decided unanimously to adopt him.
Yeah.
But that ain't figured out how you're gonna take care of him.
I still say we ought to send the kid to Red Dog.
That's 40 miles away.
I don't care if it's 100. It's the nearest town where there's any women folks that could take care of the little coyote.
Oh, I don't want women.
Now, sir, Sandy, he was born in Roaring Camp, and he belongs in Roaring Camp.
Well, what about engaging a female nurse to come here and take care of him?
Why, you know no woman in her right mind would come to Roaring Camp to live.
Yeah, what do you got to say about it, Stumpy?
Well, seeing as how I've been taking care of the kid, I figured I'd best not say nothing. I want that everybody should speak right up, and if they don't think I've been handling things right...
Oh, no, it ain't that, Stumpy. You done good so far.
Sure you have, Stump. Think you could keep on at it?
Well, I reckon Jenny and me can manage.
Well, that settles it, then.
But hold on, we ain't through yet. If we're going to keep the kid, we gotta have a name for him. Can't just keep on calling him the Coyote or the Little Cuss.
Well, what do we call him?
I have a name to suggest.
Yeah, what's that, Oakhurst?
Well, gentlemen, I have observed that since the baby was born, he has brought the luck to Roaring Camp.
You mean you've been winning more than usual, eh?
gentlemen, I wasn't speaking for myself alone. Ask yourselves. Is there one of you who hasn't fared better since his arrival? Even the gold seems more plentiful in the gulches.
No, I think maybe Oakhurst got something there.
Well, then, what better name than Luck?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah, but he's got to have more than one name.
What about Tommy for a first name? We can call him the Luck.
Tommy Luck.
And we'll set aside a day for the christening.
Christening?
What?
You shouldn't deny the little orphan a christening, Ryder. All I ask is that I be master of ceremonies.
Don't you mean the minister?
In Roarin', I think master of ceremonies will do just as well.
And I shall assemble the choir and direct it.
Hey, yeah. Choir? This is going to be a real shindig.
Reckon we won't have had so much size splitting fun in years.
A church service. I can see that. Yeah.
Much time was spent in Roarin' Camp preparing a burlesque of the church service. A mock altar was set up in the grove, and on the appointed day, a large procession marched into the ravine to the accompaniment of music, carrying banners. Boston, whose humorous brain had contrived the satire, stepped up to the altar on which the child had been placed. But just then a strange thing happened. Stumpy got out before the crowd and pushed Boston aside. Strange thing. Or was it?
Boys, it ain't exactly my style to spoil the fun, but, it strikes me that this thing ain't on the square.
What do you mean, Stumpy?
Well, we're just making a laughing stock of this service.
Oh, aren't that the idea?
Reckon so. I agreed to it myself at first, but after thinking it over, it just seems like playing a pretty low trick on this here baby to ring fun on him that he ain't gonna understand. Just because we ain't never been what you might call religious men, I don't see that gives us no call to inflict it on this innocent kid.
Stumpy, you said a gold dang mouth. I agree.
Much as I hate to see a joke wasted, I'll go along. Reckon it was carrying things a bit too far.
But wait up, Boston. We're here for a christening, and we'll have it. Let me pick up the baby now. I proclaim you Thomas Luck, according to the laws of the United States and the state of California. So help me God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right, Boston. Amen.
Amen.
So the work of regeneration began in Roarin' Camp. The next thing was a rosewood cradle packed 80 miles by mule.
This cradle's done sort of spiled the rest of Luck's cabin, eh, Kentuck?
Yeah, you're right, Stumpy. We'd better get new furniture for it, and whitewash the cabin, too. Now, we gotta get a lot of clothes for the Luck, or we'll send to Sacramento for them. The best they have. Lace, you know, and the filigree work and frills. Hang the cost.
Boys, since I've been appointed sort of nurse to the Luck, I gotta lay down the rule that afore any of you're allowed to hold him, you gotta pass a cleanliness inspection.
I've been an express man for now on to 30 years. Thought I'd seen everything, but that Roarin' Camp beats all. Don't mind admitting it used to kind of tingle my spine to go in there, but now they got vines and flowers around their houses. They wash themselves twice a day, and they worship an Injun baby.
Who be you, stranger?
What are you talking about, Boston?
Oh, it's you, Kentuck. I still have a hard time recognizing you since you took to shaving every day.
All right.
And with them clean fingernails and boiled shirts, you're getting to be a regular dude.
Well, I don't see you got much cause to talk. You're shiny as a racehorse.
All right for me to hold a look, Stumpy?
Yeah, Kentuck. You pass the inspection.
All right. Look at him looking at me. And I swear, I think he knows me.
He ought to be talking soon, don't you think?
Oh, he ain't nigh to 6 months yet, Kentuck.
Well, if he could talk, he'd have a heap to say. He's got more sense in his face than most folks I know.
Including you, Kentuck?
You bet.
You know, the more I see the luck growing, the more something worries me.
What's that, Sandy?
Well, no matter how much we fancy ourselves up, we still can't make up to him for what it would mean to have some women around roaring.
Now, wait a minute, Sandy. One of the few good things about roaring is that we ain't got no women folks around trying to tell us how to do things.
Well, I don't like the idea of it any more than you do, Ryder, speaking personally.
Why, a bunch of women cluttering up.
Well, it wouldn't have to be too many.
Well, now, one's too many.
But we got the luck to
think
about. But now, hold on a minute, Ryder, till I explain what the plan was. Now, I thought we could build a sort of small hotel in roaring come spring. Small, but really nice. And invite one or two decent families to live here. That way, there'd be women about who'd be really interested in the kids.
Well, I like your idea, Sandy. Like as not, there'd be other kids for the luck to play with when he gets older.
Yeah, sure. The women would probably turn the luck against us.
The luck against us? His family? Not a chance. Well, I'm for it. With the money we made last year, it wouldn't pinch us none to build a hotel. You know that, Ryder.
Oh, it ain't the money I'm thinking of. You believe you could actually persuade some decent folks to come here?
Sure. Roaring ain't what it used to be. Everybody in Red Dog and Poker's Flat's been talking about the change come over us since Luck was born.
I'm with you, honey. But we gotta make that oily talking old curse swear he won't get none of them in the card game.
And why should I be the only one who hasn't come under the good influence of the luck?
Well, everybody's agreed then, but you, Ryder.
Oh, I ain't gonna stand in the way if the rest of you think it's the right thing to do. But I don't mind telling you. I hope some other way turns up for us to take care of the luck.
Well, another way did turn up, but a way which even Ryder wouldn't have approved. The winter of 1851 will long be remembered in the foothills of the Sierras. The snow was deep on the peaks, and every mountain creek became a river, every river a lake. Each gorge and gulch was transformed into a tumultuous watercourse that descended the hillside, tearing down giant trees and scattering its drifts and debris along the plain. And then one night...
Kentuck, wake up!
Huh?
Wake up there!
Oh, can't you let a tired body sleep?
Wake up, I tell you! Something funny's going on outside!
Oh, you're dreaming.
I'm not!
Yeah, you are. Now, go back to sleep.
I'm not dreaming, Kentuck. Wake up! Listen for yourself! Listen to that!
It must be raining outside.
That's rain my foot!
Well, what else could it be?
I'll bet my bottom dollar the North Fork's done jumped its bank!
You're imagining things, Sandy.
I reckon I imagined the Red Dog got flooded last week.
Yeah, well, that's so.
And you know what Stumpy said no more than yesterday.
What was that?
He said, water put gold into them gulches. It's been here once, and it'll be here again. Well, listen to that.
Yeah, it's getting louder. Let's have a look outside.
It's the North Fork, all right. Look, there's a foot of water around our shack right now. Getting to seep inside.
And it's getting higher all the time. Which way's it coming from?
Up there, up the valley.
That means near Stumpy's cabin.
Coming along a mile a minute. Hey, somebody's running toward us.
Oakhurst.
Come on, you two. Don't stand there if you value your lives. The cards are stacked against Warren tonight. I was at Shorty's playing. The place collapsed right after I stepped out the door.
Have you seen Stumpy?
No.
Where are the other fellows?
I don't know. It's every man for himself tonight.
You haven't seen Stumpy in a
kid. I told you no. This is no time for conversation. If you aren't coming, goodbye.
We're with you, Oakhurst. Come on, Kentuck.
Yeah.
Kentuck, not that way. You head right into the flood.
I gotta get to Stumpy.
You'll be killed, Kentuck. Don't be a fool. Come back, Kentuck. Come back. Kentuck!
Not a building standing.
It's a wonder there's any of us alive.
I ain't never seen nothing like that water last night.
Here's Stumpy's cabin. What's left of it.
Roof torn off. Wall caved in.
Look here. Little red blanket. That was the Lux.
It seems like we could at least find a trace of them. Even if they was...
Maybe they got out in time.
Maybe.
Stumpy's cabin was right in the path of the crest, being so near to the river here.
Here comes Oakhurst.
Some of us have just been on a searching party.
Find anything? Anybody?
Stumpy.
Alive?
No.
Where?
He'd been washed high up in the gulch.
Was he alone?
Yeah.
Ain't seen nothing of the Luck.
Not a sign. They say where there's life, there's hope.
Uh-huh.
Where's Kentuck, Sandy?
I don't know.
What do you mean, don't know? You bunked together.
I couldn't stop him.
What are you talking about?
He ran head-on into the floodwaters. I yelled and yelled to him to come back. I told him he'd get himself killed. He wouldn't listen to me. He must have lost his mind from fear.
That don't sound like Kentuck.
Nah. Kentuck's the bravest man in Roaring, barring nobody.
Hey there, you men!
It's a relief boat coming up the river. One of the men is waving at us. He must want to see us about something.
Come on.
You calling to us?
Yeah. We picked up a man and a baby downstream a piece.
Yeah. Oh.
Pretty nigh exhausted. Thought maybe they belonged here.
You say a baby?
That's right. Here they are.
It's Kentuck and Kid.
Look out, Kentuck's holding him. Kentuck afraid? Huh. There's your answer. He wasn't afraid.
He went back for the kid.
Kentuck's still breathing. A little.
But the Luck?
The Luck is dead.
Look. Kentuck's opening his eyes. He sees us.
Kentuck?
Hello, boys. Did you say he's...
Yeah, Kentuck. He is. It weren't your fault.
How do you think I'm doing? No sandbagging, Poston.
I'll play it straight, Kentuck. You're dying, too.
Dying? Yeah. That's right. He's taking me with him. Tell the boys. I got the Luck with me now.
And the strong man, clinging to the frail baby, drifted away into the shadowy river that flows forever to the unknown sea. The Luck of Roaring Camp was ended.
The Luck of Roaring Camp by Bret Harte is another in a series of living fiction presented each week by Northwestern University in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company. The Luck of Roaring Camp was adapted for radio by Agnes Eckert. The cast and directors were students of Northwestern University. Kentuck was played by Tam Spiva, Stumpy by Ansel Ressler, Sandy by George Hurd, Oakhurst by Jim Petrasovich, Ryder by Rush Evans, Boston by Bob Tack, and the narration was by Skipper Truly. Others were Helen Caskey and Lincoln Bumba. The assistant director was Dick Reeves. The director was Jim Holston. The entire production was under the supervision of John Cowan. This is Hugh Downs speaking. This is the NBC Radio Network.